bow and the seas will roar and the sound of your name. And I think that as I was thinking about that, I was like, oh, what amazing, powerful things we are saying. And I think that sometimes we don't realize the powerful things that we're saying. Or we can get caught up in the melody because music is really beautiful. But we lose the words. And the stuff that we said today was just so powerful. And we were making commitments with our language, with our words, that were so powerful. And today, as we've been, this last few weeks, as we've been studying James, and we've been talking about, James basically covers kind of the core of what it means to be a Christian, right? What Christianity looks like in action, and how to pursue that action. And so as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the powerful words we're saying, I got thinking about what we're going to talk about today. Today we're in James 4, and I think that at this point, James has covered a lot of these like key features of being a Christian of action. But in 4, he kind of takes it and gives us this ultimate concept that overlays over all of these different pieces. And that is the concept of motive. So the question we're going to ask ourselves today is, what motivates you? So as you think about, we have dozens and dozens of choices a day that we make. There's actions that we make, whether they just make sense. It's the things we were taught. And then there's all kinds of reasons we make every decision that we make. But ultimately, what we want to talk about today is the two motives that oversee, as believers, all of these actions. And there's a motive to glorify God with our lives, with every breath. And then there's a motive to glorify self, right? Ultimately, all the sub-motives that you deal with can be checked to those as a believer. We can check, you know, whether you want to be a good steward of your finances. There's a motive behind that, right? We either want to be a good steward of our finances to glorify the kingdom of God, or we want to be a good steward of our finances so we have a nice Porsche when we retire. So there's a, you know, and there's nothing wrong with having nice things. I do want to talk about that. In 1 Timothy 4:4, it says, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." I haven't even gotten into James yet, but we are talking about motives, so I do want to talk about things. And he talks about thankfulness, to being thankful with the things that we have. If you have nice things and you're giving glory to God in those things, that's great. But it's when we abuse good things to glorify self that gets tainted. Some examples. God created good food, and I love good food.
Amen.
I love good food. And I don't know many people who don't love good food. But gluttony is an abuse of God's good gift of good food. And lust is an abuse of God's good gift of love. And murder is an abuse of God's good gift of life. And so as we reflect today, before we even get into the text, I want you to be thinking about the decisions that you make from day to day and what motivates those decisions. What is your motive? Would you pray with me? Lord God, I just thank you for this opportunity to be here. God, I pray that today your word would radiate and that we would just be absorbing it into our lives and putting it into practice. God, I pray that as we've been studying James, that you would just be building up in us a desire to see you glorified, so that as people look at us and see the things that we do, they they see you in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go over, I had a projection here, so I'm going to carry this paper with me, forgive me. We're going to go over a brief recap of what we've looked at in James thus far. I mentioned that he covers these points of points of practice to being a genuine Christian. In chapter 1, he talks about perseverance and the building of our faith through trials. He talks about healthy communication with God. Jesus himself said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." That's in Matthew 7:7. He talks about having healthy desires. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. He talks about having healthy interactions, being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to becoming angry. He talks about healthy listening, where we receive the word of God and we put it into practice. He talks about healthy relationships, not showing favoritism when interacting with people based on a bias that's set up by either a social thing or internal thing. And then he talks about healthy faith, kind of the iconic, I think, verse of the book, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Talks about healthy speech. Guarding yourself against the destruction of a loose tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison, as referenced in 3:8. He talks about healthy wisdom, which is what we talked about last week. First pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. And as he wraps up chapter 3, he leaves us with this: peacemakers who sow peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers who sow peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
I think so. I think that if we pursue peace in our lives and loving people and doing our best to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourself, that James is reminding us here that the harvest is righteousness. And that's exciting. So now that we've covered all of these pieces, we want to look at the overlying theme of the book, I believe, which is talking about motive. He talks about it and touches on it throughout each chapter, but he really digs into it in chapter 4. So if you open up the Bibles in the pews, it's 10:12 or your device. We're going to read through a portion of chapter 4 here. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, "He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us"? That came up during our prayer time. He yearns jealously over us. And as I was reading through this, I think when I've read through 4 before, a lot of times I'll go through James It's one of my favorite books. And as I go through chapter 4, I think many times I'll go through it and just be like, okay, yep, and onward. I get excited about some of the more nitty-gritty pieces. But as I was reading through it and studying and preparing to share with you today, I was like, wow, there is a whole lot here. And these first few verses of the chapter are could be a lot to swallow as believers, right? As you look at it, as you're looking through to where we got there, if you look up to through verse 5, it's asking some hard questions and really touching on the basis of what your motives are. It starts it off with what causes fights among you. And if I think back on interactions that I've had with other people that didn't go the way they should have, I think in almost every case, I was certainly guilty of having a motive shift, right? You can go into a conversation with really good intentions, and you can want to glorify God in the conversation, but he's warning us against anger, and there's a good reason for that, because a lot of times we get into this conversation, and then something bubbles up a little bit inside of us, and suddenly we go from healthy motives in glorifying God to, I need to defend myself. And when we shift into, I need to defend myself, or when we start looking at things and we're going, my way works just fine, or the way things have been good for me, or any time that your thinking and your thought process goes to me, or my, it's a great time to check what your motives are. Because in my experience, when I'm thinking me, the motive is me, right? when I'm going mine, the motive is me. Yeah. I'm trying to do something for myself. And I can tell you that the fruit of that is bitter. The fruit of that is bitter. And bitterness. And I think it creates, and I've seen it create wounds and scars in the body of Christ that last for decades and sometimes seem to never heal. Because these motives are just dead set on me, mine. And if we look at in chapter 3, see, I've got to find it now. I had the slide. He talks about the fact that the, let's see here, I'm going to find it. So it's chapter 3, 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. That's a lot. And I think that as we're addressing this issue of motive, we want to make sure that we are loving people, that we're caring about where they're coming from, that we're showing them respect and looking at how we're building them up. As we move through verse 4 through 5, verse 4, he talks about friendship with the world putting us at enmity with God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That is very heavy, and I think about that as we talked about at the beginning, the abuse of God's good things. That is reflected again in this verse. To be friends with the world is, once again, this concept of placing our wholeness, our fullness and identity in self, and thus pursuing pleasures and things at any expense, even if it's at the expense of others or the expense of obeying God. So, but there's hope. Let's continue reading. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. He gives us six pieces here for seeking out healthy motivation, for placing God at the priority in our lives. He says, first, submit yourselves to God. Then he says, second piece, resist the devil. And I really like how he words this, because he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then follows that by draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The fourth piece is one I think that we often overlook. Repent. I think a lot of times we get going through life and we do things happen, we make a mistake, and it's easy to just keep moving on and not think about the fact that we need to have a repentant heart. And I think that immediately follows into this concept of grieving. It's not saying that as a believer we're to spend our lives moping around and feeling crappy. It means that as we are looking at these things, this lack of God glorification in our life, that we are grieving over sin rather than celebrating it. I think oftentimes you do something and you're kind of like, oh, whatever. And as you're going through it, there's things that feel good. And you're just, all right, cool, moving on. But I think it's really important that we address sin, we grieve sin, when we see sin. I know when I see stuff going on, whether it's in my life or other people's lives, that's painful and hurting. For me, like, to grieve is like feeling the heart of God, right? Sensing the fact that God is grieving the fact that we are making decisions like this. It hurts God. Jesus made this huge sacrifice for us, but we betray that again and again and again. And I think, so grieving is putting ourselves, kind of sensing the Spirit weeping over the situation. And then finally, and I think this kind of covers a multitude of the other things, is humbling yourselves and he will exalt you. When I was, I own a business in Canton, and I started it in 2006. It's like a hobby and entertainment store. We sell like board games and card games and stuff like that. And throughout the course of the business, I think I've always tried my best. And I know there's some other business owners here that as you're running a business, things can be confusing, stuff can be challenging. But I always tried my very best to honor God in my decisions. And I think that over time, I had like a sense of pride about it. Which, again, here's kind of a shift. As we are seeing things going well, we're celebrating in what God is doing. At some point, I started celebrating what I've done. And I don't think I even realized it. Because if you'd asked me, I would have said, the business is God's. What he does with it is his to do with it. But reality was, the business was mine. And I was going to do the things that made sense, and I was going to make the decisions that made sense, and I was going to pour my energy into it because it was my little economic baby. So a few years ago, in 2015, I expanded the business. This was my third time expanding the business. And it was a very big undertaking. But I had gone through every step. I checked all the boxes. You know, I'd spoken with financial advisors. I had written an elaborate business plan. It was a year of planning and meetings, lawyers and accountants and small business development people, and everyone was green light. Green lights everywhere. And I was just like, yes, awesome. I did a really good job. So we proceeded with this expansion. We bought a building, we moved in, and then things were hard. And I expected things would be hard, but things were really hard. And they were hard for year after year. And then new things were coming up that were making it more hard. And I was just like, okay, well, God is good. He's faithful. He's going to bring me through. And about 2 years ago, I was feeling really down. And this was kind of new to me, at least in regards, or relatively new, infrequent at best throughout the history of running the business. I was just feeling really down. I was feeling like, what had I done wrong? How had I screwed up? What mistakes did I make? What things did I oversee? You hear that? I. Asking myself this again and again and again. And I went into the shop one day before we were open, and God really just said, I think I was coming into the shop and I said, Lord, I've given this to you, and everything is said, like, go, and why is this so hard? You know, where is the grace? And I just got a reality check from the Holy Spirit saying, have you really given this to me? Is this really mine, or is this yours? And as I thought about it, I was like, I just started to weep. I got on my knees and I prayed in several locations in my store. I worshiped and I just submitted my business to God and honestly said, God, if it's yours, take it. If you want it to be done, I'm done. And that's okay. And I can tell you that making that shift in perspective, taking the motive from me to God, despite all the things that I was doing, there was nothing that I was doing that was bad. Yeah. I was encouraging people that were coming from hard backgrounds. I was trying to, like, teach a lot of, it was mostly young men, sorry ladies, but a lot of young men who come from bad homes or hurting situations, abusive parents, who were coming in, and this was their family. And I was teaching these young men to love one another. I was encouraging them that fighting wasn't worth it, that putting the person that you're sitting next to ahead of yourself had such amazing value. But ultimately, in what I was doing, the motivation was off. And because of that, I didn't have peace. Because of my motivation to glorify me, I was not happy, and I was destined to fail. Because even if you can find success without God, what success is that? Scripture tells us it's nothing. It's nothing. It doesn't come with me. So, I felt empty. So, again, I want to ask, I want to just say, what's motivating you? I just want you to think in the decisions even that you've made today, or maybe in the plans that you're making? What's motivating you? James keeps going in talking about motive. He addresses the concept of slander and gossip. We're going to go ahead and read that as soon as I can turn back to it. All right. Do not speak evil. We're at verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Once again, we're talking about motive, right? Because if our motive is to glorify God, we know that God is the judge, right? And I think this verse oftentimes gets confused because it's used as a blanket for like everything. Don't judge, don't judge, don't judge, you're judging me, you're judging me. And that's not really the case because James defines the judge, right? Towards the end of the verse, what's he say? God is the only judge, and what's God able to do that we are not? He can save, and he can destroy. That's the judge role that he plays. And if our motives are aligned with God's motives, then that means that when we interact with people, our motives should be one to build up, to encourage. If you find yourself looking at a person and going, man, they just need to come down a peg. If I can tell you right now, that's a bad motivation. When you're looking at somebody and being like, they've got this or they've got that. I need to inform them and put them in their place with reality because they're putting themselves on a pedestal or something like that, right? Bad motive. But if you look at a situation or you look at yourself, and it's almost always looking at yourself, right? I screw up enough times a day that I need to be looking at myself a whole lot. And that the time I spend looking out here, it's not that I don't want to build and encourage the body, but I also want to make sure that my motives are right. And if I'm making sure my motives are right, then I'm checking my heart. But when you see things and you want to encourage and you want to build up, when I get together with a friend and he's feeling discouraged over something or another, and I'm talking to him, I need to look at myself and say, what am I doing? What is my purpose here? Because if I'm glorifying God, then I'm encouraging them. I'm offering them words of wisdom. And I'm also just loving them. And what's love look like? Love is sacrificial. There's no my, me, when you're loving other people. Not with a God-centered, in a God-centered way. What's motivating you? As James wraps this up, he takes it kind of out the next step and says, what's motivating your forward-thinking perspective? How are you thinking about the future? This is what he says. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. I've done that. Like, I've thought about things in that way. I'm sure pretty much any business owner that is in here for sure has. I look at Wyatt, he's like, yep. You know, you're looking forward and you're going, I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. I'm going to build this house. I'm going to do this trade. I'm going to milk these cows. Right? But you don't know what tomorrow brings. James talks about that. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, because I'm assuming I'll be alive tomorrow, right? All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it for himself, for him it is sin. So even as we're planning, and I know that this for me is a huge place that I think that I cut that motive out of my life. Because a lot of times when I'm planning, I just do the things I've been taught. I look forward, I say, this is the right thing to do here, so I'm going to do that, right? This is how my business needs to function. This is how I need to function at work. This is what I need to do to prepare for the next season of work here or there. This is how I need to interact with this person or that person. It's just the right thing to do. But James is just reminding us, he's like, even in your plans, you need to be asking yourself, what is my motive? What's motivating me? Are these plans God plans, or are these plans me plans? And brothers and sisters, this is a very hard thing. I see I'm not trying to be like, oh, I've got this on lockdown. I'm far from it. But I'm looking out here, and it's very, like, sobering text, and I want you to know that we serve a great and mighty God who is more than able to carry us through all of our mistakes, which we will make every day. God is faithful, and he is good. Amen. What we're trying to remind you about here today is that there are good things we can be doing to take action in our day-to-day life to see him glorified and peace restored to our lives. That's awesome. That's awesome. Think about different things that you've gone through in life, and I don't know many people who have gone through and don't struggle with that peace. And James is telling us, do you want that peace? Here are some ways, some circumstances that will help you address your motives and find the peace of God day to day. I want to invite the worship team up. And as they're coming up, I just want us to think about this. I want us to rejoice in this. And just be excited about the fact that God is doing great things. I believe God is doing such great things here at this church. I think God is doing great things among his people, not only here but around the world. And I think there's a lot of challenges that are working against us. But I want to encourage you that as you are going through life today, that you'd be reflecting on what we've been learning in the last few weeks, on how we can take our faith and we can put it into action. How we can address our thought processes and put them into action for the glory of God. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We want to take the way we think and the way we do, and we want to make our motivation God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, before we sing the last song, I want to just give everyone a moment. We're going to take a couple minutes and just take some time to pray, take some time to reflect, and think about your motives, think about your mindset, and think, and let's just pray together that our focus, both individually but as a body of Christ here in St. Lawrence County, would be to see God glorified. That our motives for the future, for today, in our relationships, in our desires, in our listening, in our faith, in our speech, in our wisdom, in our communion with God, and in our perseverance, are that our focus, our motive, would be to glorify God. Just a couple moments. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. God, I just pray that as we are meditating and we are worshiping and we are praying and praising you today, that you would be taking our motives and that you would be aligning them with you. God, that we would be finding healthy ways to lay ourselves down and see you prioritized in our lives and in our actions. God, I thank you for all the amazing people that you have in this church, but also in the greater church. And I thank you for what you are doing. I thank you for the relationships you're building. I thank you for the love that you're building. God, I thank you for the overpouring of your Spirit that is just building within us. God, I just pray that we would be connecting with each other, that we would be loving each other, that it wouldn't be a Sunday love, but it would be a love that lasts Sunday through Saturday. That we would think of each other, that we would pray for each other, that we would encourage each other. God, that we would be preparing ourselves to run the great race of faith and to do it well. Not because we have to, Lord, but because we want to. Because you are worthy of our to be glorified. Lord, move in power. Thank you. Amen.